Well, hey there. Welcome to part two of this live parent seminar. I really hope you like this second part. We're going to dig more deeply into what's actually happening for us as parents. So much of the time we think if we can just fix the kids and get everything right, then we're going to be fine. But what I found recently is that there's so much happening in our own lives. And if we can become more reflective about where we're at and how we're traveling, we can really see some breakthrough and good results. So enjoy this second part, and I'll come back and speak to you again at the very end. Okay, so quick summary. I lie awake at night thinking, wondering how you receive this. I'm hoping you're not hearing end of the world. I hope you're not hearing men are the only part of the solution. I'm just offering you an opinion that mothers intuitively just kind of invest and engage, and often, and many dads do too, but if men will really step up, we get a big harvest at the moment. If you want to keep in touch going forward, social media feeds are there. Some of you would know I do a podcast every Monday. You can find that on the website. I just do a whole bunch of stuff on peak performance and living well. So you can follow me there. Okay, so some simple strategies. I'm hoping to encourage you. I hope that if anything else happens, you do leave here going, that you felt slightly encouraged. You came, I've already validated that. I want you to be encouraged. I'm going to give you practical stuff for that now. First thing, as I thought about coming to speak with you tonight, if there's anything that you want to change in your parenting, or if there's something happening in your home that you don't like, which is probably all of us, not many of us would say, it is absolutely perfect, it is bliss. I walk in, choirs of angels sing, my children are there every time I walk in the door. Welcome home, mother, father. All of us probably at least have something that we want to change. And change requires energy to create change. And I want you to be reminded of that you have access to the most profound leverage, what I would call the ultimate leverage, is that no matter how bad it might get or how toxic a conflict might be or how despairing you might feel at any given point, what you do have is ultimately a profound love for your children or child. I spent a lot of time today with the boys taking them through an understanding of love, especially the year 12s, because we talked about relationships with women. Very quickly, very simply, we have culturally sentimentalized love into a feeling state. So that when we use the word love, it's the same word we also have for pizza and your favorite movie. The deeper meaning of love is much older, and the best definition, I did a second master's in philosophical anthropology, and what they taught us in that postgrad program was a beautiful definition that to love is to will the good of the other. That the deepest definition of human love is to will the good of the other. We are the only thing in the created universe that we know of that has a will. Animals act on pure instinct. Sometimes it'll look close to will, but it is instinct. You are the only thing in the universe that can choose a behavior, even if you don't feel like it or it doesn't serve an immediate end. To love another human being is to will their good, or to want that the good would happen to them. At the deepest level of parenting is the desire that you have that the good would happen to your child, that they would flourish, that they would... Again, my background in that philosophical sense was the Greeks had a word, eudaimonia. So for Aristotle and the Greeks, the peak of being human was to become what the Greeks called a eudaimon, which was a person who was fully flourishing and alive and engaged and all their potential. And when you look at your son, remember that. Remember that your deep desire is that you would see them flourish, that if you could wave a magic wand, you would want their life to work out really well. So the ultimate leverage will always be there for you, even if it's buried at times and when things are really hard. The next interesting point is, again, we did a lot of work on something called primary vocation, which is in life we have primary and secondary vocations. For many of us, our primary vocation comes from the Latin vocare, which means to call out or to draw forth. To have a vocation means that, you know, again, respectful of all your different backgrounds, but that God calls forth from you a vocation. And in that calling forth, your best self is invited out over time. For most of us, our primary vocation will be as partners or parents, spouses or parents. So I want to picture something tonight is this, that in the daily battle of intimacy and love and family life, you are being shaped. That God, the universe, whatever, is inviting you to grow. Because I think what I'm discovering in parenting is my best and worst self frequently. So I talked before about sanctioned emotions. So in a family, what we call it, so you have what you call a family of origin in family theory, family of origin, family of creation. So family of origin is what the family you came from, family of creation is the one you built. In your family of origin, you will have had sanctioned behaviors and sanctioned emotions. So sanctioned emotions are emotions that were in your home and were approved. Some positive ones, and depending on your family background, possibly some toxic ones. Because you'll have a default go-to mechanism when things are difficult. And what parenting, I think, invites you into is, what will I choose in the midst of that moment of difficulty? And if we're mindful and engaged and conscious, then we will tend to grow. Because, I just think that I want to invite you to reframe your parenting as a primary vocation where you are being shaped. Because people come to parent nights going, if I can just get some tips on how to make coffee machines quieter or how to get my kids to do anything, we kind of think we'll fix our kids. But I just want to just invert the paradigm a little bit here and go, what if it's really a lot about us? And I'm going to be very careful here that you don't feel criticized, or I may touch on some rawness here for you. Please don't attack me. Just sit with it for a couple of days, then attack Mark when I'm gone. Who brought this guy? Because I wonder when I stand here whether I'm just projecting my personal current parenting battles, but I just wonder, surely my other people must go through this. Like, I feel it when my kids fight. They're so close in age and they're so different in personality. They're at each other and I'll be tired and I'll be doing something. Most of the time it's frustration. You're trying to do something else and they go at it. And I just flip straight into a generational pattern of, and it's tick, 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 stop. And one of the crucial patterns is to be able to catch yourself at the moment of the generational pattern and choose. So Stephen Covey used to say that the smallest space in the world is the space between stimulus and response. He said it's the most important space in the world, the space between stimulus, what they do, and how you respond. And I've seen this work. So cutting down on the shouting, like the response, you know, I grew up with a lot of shouting and yelling, and now it's like, let's just have a little discussion here. And you do it for long enough and you see change. So the next thing is, as we begin to look at change, I just want to introduce you to the idea of resourceful states. This simply means, I invite you to start thinking a lot about self-monitoring. When there's conflict or difficulty or they're doing your head in, there's a whole body of knowledge around resourceful states, which means, it's often called the HALT principle as well, H-A-L-T. Whenever you are hungry, angry, lonely or tired, usually just stop whatever's happening. Especially for men, HALT, H-A-L-T. If you're hungry, angry, lonely or tired, and you sometimes just need to stop. We do our best parenting in resourceful states. Ask yourself this. When you feel rested or happy or engaged or you've got good news, think of when you're at your best. You parent differently. And the American speaker you'll be familiar with, Tony Robbins, who's had a huge influence for 30-odd years in peak performance work. I listened to a two-hour interview with him recently, and he was being interviewed by an entrepreneur called Tim Ferriss. And Tim said, what are your two goal takeaway pieces of advice? And here I am listening, thinking, this is the gold, right? This is a guy who's been the guru for 30 years. What's the amazing advice going to be? And he said, stay hydrated and get plenty of rest. And I'm like, oh, no, really, come on, seriously, no. What about, you know, believing your dream and following your bliss? And come on, man. He said, no, he said, if you don't rest enough, he said, you won't be in resourceful states. And if you're not in resourceful states, you will not choose and do the best thing you can. So I had to be trained in how to rest and how to do self-care. And I want to really encourage you to think about the concept of self-care health, diet, stuff. I know that this is going to sound crazy to some of you, but if you're in a good place and taking care of what of yourself, then you can give from a good place. If you're constantly tired, constantly not in a great resourceful place. So there's another great quote from another speaker who said, would you please take care of you for me? Would you please take care of you for me? So I want to encourage you to take good care of yourself. It's not, I had to be trained how to do this because growing up from a dysfunctional background, you don't know how to do that very well. I had to get trained how to do it, how to go, I'm going to rest. And especially if you're a parent, you model it. You teach them as young people how to value themselves and rest. End of sermon. But if you're in a spiral of conflict and there's an issue that's just constantly asking yourself, am I coming at this from a resourceful place? Okay. A few more good bits and pieces. I want to give you some great quotes just very quickly, and I'll happy to email these to you. I'll give you my email address at the end. Brené Brown, some of you'd be familiar with. I only came across her recently. Fascinating. She writes amazing work on shame and guilt and breaking through shame patterns. So she did a doctorate in it. She's on TED. But her recent book, which I just read, this is how my speaking works, is I read intensely before I come somewhere and I get a couple of good things I'll have to share. And this was what she said. And I fall back on this because I go, I'm pointing to the experts. So if you disagree with it, you can ring Brené. She says, who we are and how we engage with the world are much stronger predictors of how our children will do than what we know about parenting. Who we are and how we engage with the world are much stronger predictors of how our children will do than what we know about parenting. I don't know if she's right. I'm not sure. I haven't lived long enough to know the answer to that, but I get her point. That if my children see me as somebody who can regulate difficult emotions, who makes time for rest, exercise, you know, prayer, faith, music, love, joy, art, family time, conversation, silence. If they see these things, she's suggesting that if she sees how my children see how I engage with the world, it'll be a very strong predictor of how they will. And secondly, she says very powerfully here, are you the adult you want your child to grow up to be? Are you the adult you want your child to grow up to be? And I think I'm getting relatively close. I'm probably still quite a way away, but compared to what I came from, I hope that I'm modeling an awareness to my children that you can really grow and come through things and change and contribute to the world. All right, last few bits and pieces, almost done. I read a brilliant book many years ago that phrased the idea of a curriculum. It was a cognitive CBT specialist who said that each of us carry a personal curriculum, something that life is trying to teach us, and it is going to keep trying to teach it to you until you get it. And when you get it, you'll move on to the next level of curriculum. So for me, it was anger or depression, because I grew up with depression. It's all depression modeled all the time. So my default go-to was depression or anxiety. So I had to learn wonderful ways of managing that and choosing through it and growing so I didn't pass it on to the next generation, right? So I had a curriculum, and that curriculum remains constant for me that I have to keep working away at. If you're finding an area of conflict or difficulty in your parenting, ask yourself, does this have anything to do with my curriculum? That is there something that life's trying to teach me at the moment that if I was mindful and switched onto it, I would grow and I might break through this pattern? So Karen and I have been doing that work in our own lives. What is your family's curriculum? Does your family have something that the family needs to learn about how it treats members of the family? We talk about sanctioned behaviours and emotions. Some families are really critical, cutting, that's appropriate behaviour, that we can just slag each other off and chip away at each other. Negative critical humour basically just doesn't have any empirical basis for success as any kind of way of relating to each other. Yeah, it's one thing to be lighthearted and have the occasional thing, but does the family need a cultural shift? And it's really hard work. To shift your family culture is a hard, hard thing. It requires a lot of work and a lot of deliberateness, but it's possible. What are the sanctioned behaviours? Is there anything you'd like to change that just needs to change? and then you're going to have to model that and lead it. This one's quite challenging. How are we avoiding or self-medicating the issues? So I humbly offer that we are a culture that's increasingly specialising in avoidance and self-medication. My father-in-law, who's a wonderful man, spent years working in drug and alcohol rehab, and he said, drugs medicate pain. Taught me that simple principle, drugs medicate pain. And we're a culture often that if things are difficult or too hard, we will distance and withdraw. And we all have complex ways of doing that. I still do it in different ways. I'll disengage from difficult things sometimes. So to really grow as parents, sometimes we have to ask, how are we avoiding or ignoring or blocking out the reality of what's happening? You got to turn up. And I speak as a man to men. You know, we have to turn up. Even when we're tired and it's difficult, we have to show up. Engaged, alert, switched on, refusing to hide in patterns that we may have learned in previous generations. We've got to show up and really be present. And it's a hard thing to do. So they're just things to leave you with. They're quite challenging, but if we do that work, if you face those difficult questions, on the other side of that is growth and blessing and freedom for people. Last few practical things, very simple stuff, is what I shared with parents last year. Become a specialist. If you get them through to the early 20s, the heavy lifting's done. So I encourage you to become specialists. Read and learn as much as you can. Just, you know, think of anything in life that you're into that's important to you. You devote time to it. Karen went the other side of the spectrum. She read basically every book ever written in human history on parenting. It's confused the hell out of all of us. I just have one or two, and I find I'll probably read two or three fatherhood or parenting books a year. Just a little jolt to go, yep, get back in the game, get focused again. Just read stuff. What's their world like? Learn as much as you can about what they're facing. Really good one here for women and for spouses, partners. Affirmation is oxygen for men. Affirmation is oxygen for men. I spoke with a woman recently who was facing a difficult time watching that relationship with her husband and her son. And she's like, what do I do? And I said, provide as much affirmation as you can. When women affirm men and say, you know, you're a good father. I notice that you're really trying. Like most men will go, But I think most men on the inside will be like, wow. Because men in our culture really get bugger all affirmation. I'm not saying we need to cry about that necessarily, but most of us as men, how often do we hear, you're doing a really good job. You're doing a difficult task. You're showing up. You're giving it the best you can. We don't hear that. So for a woman to say to a man, you are doing a good job. You know, keep trying. Just hang in there. Why don't you go away this week? And just keep trying. Affirmation is a really powerful thing, but it works both ways. You know, obviously, again, for a man to say to a mother, hey, you're doing really well. I really like how you do that. Just ask yourself, are you saying that enough? Karen says it to me more and more, and I've got to learn to receive it better and better. A little favourite one here, just some random parenting tips to finish. Beware of allowing what we call autonomous rooms, going into autonomous bedrooms. This is from a psychologist, Bill O'Hare, who puts it like this, that a lot of kids are coming home to these, not home as we understand it. Let you finish having a quick look at that. So keep shamelessly building a family culture, doing life together. You didn't get a family to have autonomous rooms where people pass as ships in the night. You're not going to be popular. So if they've got a TV in their bedroom and you think, yeah, that's interesting, maybe I should take that out, all you have to do, go home, watch the opening scenes of Saving Private Ryan, because that is what it will look like when you go to get the TV out of the bedroom. Because they're not going to go, that's a great idea. I do use too much technology. I was just thinking, we really should get rid of this thing. So last few bits and pieces is to say, allow your home, if you can, to become the hub. A whole bunch of great research on this, that if your home becomes the central point where the peer network moves through, that's a really good thing. You should know all your sons or daughters' closest friends. You should know their names, and if possible, you should know all the parents. Be ruthless. Every sporting event, hi, I am such and such. Hi, who, learn, meet, engage with other parents. Your home becomes the hub. in North Queensland once, I said, oh, you know, consider getting a table tennis table or a pool table or something where kids want to come and be present at your house. At the end of the night, the principal said, anybody got any feedback for Jonathan this evening? And this guy in this deep North Queensland accent said, yeah, I thought it was a good night. I'm going to go home and tell me missus that some bloke from down south said, we've got to buy a pool table. I said, oh, yeah, that's not quite what I meant. And he goes, nah. But he goes, that's what I heard. So we built our home. We just did a big extension, and a lot of it was about creating a place where, as our kids are young, as they get older, people are going to be confident, going to enjoy coming there. So know your kids' friends. You've got to know them, who they are. You really got to do that. You'd be shameless. You know, who are they? Spend time, meet the parents as much as you can. Just put the time in now, between now and early 20s. Simple one is just be with them. Just be deliberate and be with them. Make time to be with them. It's a very obvious thing, but just ask yourself this weekend, be with them. Then we're going to go on a family walk. And they're like, yeah, we're like, right. They're so not going on a walk. They're rarely going to thank you. But simply be with them. How many times have you heard people say, oh, it goes so fast? And it does. I think many of us already know that, don't we? Every day, be with them. So friends, in summary, I've validated how difficult this task is. I've shown you a snapshot of some of what they're facing socioculturally. I've suggested to you that you have all the leverage and energy that you actually need because you deeply love them and you will their good, and if you could wave a magic wand, you would. So you've got that energy to work with. I've suggested to you that much of the heavy lifting now is about where we're at internally, becoming the best version of yourself possible. I love that line, become the best possible version of yourself. Because as you get integrated, alive, engaged, healed, healthy, focused, energized, because that's so easy to do instantly, but if you were to move in that direction, you'll come from your best self. And if you come from your best self, you're in a resourceful state to be attentive to them. Be encouraged. You're doing the most important job in the world. Nothing you will ever do will be more important than this. Be deliberate, be mindful, show up. God bless. Thanks for coming out on a school night. Thanks, guys. Well, there you go. Jonathan Doyle with you once again. I really hope that you've got something great out of these two presentations. There's a lot of stuff in there, and feel free to listen to them again. You might want to go through them once or twice just to get some more of the deep stuff that's in there. This is a snapshot of my journey so far. I've still got so much to learn, but I do hope there's been something in there that's useful for you. Grab the link, share it as widely as possible with friends and family. I'd just love to see more people blessed and impacted by some of those concepts. Make sure you keep in touch regularly. You can find me on social media. If you've got this from my website, you can find my social media feeds or my regular podcast. And if you'd like me to come and speak live at your organization or your school or your church, then please just get in touch with me through the website. It'd be a great pleasure to come and share some of these concepts with you in a live event. So I'm Jonathan Doyle. I hope it's been useful, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon.